Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Jane Duker, and I'm happy to be with you in the 5 o'clock hour. I am a local attorney, local political gadfly, and working mom. So once in a while, I get to fill in and talk the issues, and I'm really excited to talk about today's issue. You've seen it in the news. You've seen it everywhere about the mayor's proposal to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2020. And I've got two phenomenal guests on the topic. And we have, right after our break, we'll have Alderman Shane Cohn, and he's the alderman for the 25th Ward. And that covers the Carondelet, Dutchtown, Mount Pleasant neighborhoods in South City. And he's been an alderman since 2009, and he's sponsoring the bill. And he's going to come on and tell us a little bit about how the bill's going to work and why it's absolutely needed. We're also going to be talking to David Jackson, and he is the managing partner of the Gateway Group, and he's a consultant for the Missouri Restaurant Association. And they obviously have deep concerns about the bill, and he's going to come on and talk about some of the issues that his members and other business owners have expressed regarding this proposal. So it's going to be an exciting few minutes. A lot of people are really talking about what $15 an hour looks like. When I first heard it, I thought, oh my goodness, I have a 17-year-old son who's a lifeguard, and I'm thrilled that he's gainfully employed. But the idea that he's worth $15 an hour, I'm not sure. So I'm looking forward to Alderman Cohn telling me why my son would be able to make $15 an hour. So it'll be an interesting few minutes. Stay tuned for tonight. We got Cardinal baseball tonight. I'm excited about the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, I thought that maybe we would still have the jinx on him, but somehow he managed to get through last night. But we got our game with the Dodgers tonight, so everybody's looking forward to baseball. It's hot out there. It's muggy. It's gross. I don't know if we're going to survive any kind of storms or anything, but it's still a great time to listen to the radio and talk minimum wage. Now, when we get to around the 5:45 mark, we want to start taking callers. We want to hear from you. We want to hear if you're a business owner. We want to hear if you're an individual who is making minimum wage that really can't make ends meet. We'd like to hear from you to see what you think about this proposal. I think it's one of the most fundamental proposals that will be affecting our region, and I think it's important that we hear all kinds of opinions. So it would be great after you hear from Alderman Shane Cohn and you hear from David Jackson, the pros and the cons of this proposal, we'd like to hear from you. So you can always call in at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. So we'll be back. We're going to take a break now, but when we get back, we're going to talk to Alderman Shane Cohn about his proposal to raise the minimum wage. And you're listening to Jane Duker, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Good afternoon, and we're back, and you're listening to Jane Duker on KMOX, and today we're going to be talking at your service. We're going to be talking about the minimum wage proposal that the mayor announced this week, and it basically is going to be a raise to $15 an hour by the year 2020. It stair-stepped up between 2017 and through 2020. And before I get started, I wanted to make sure that I did a shout-out to Jim Raganti, who is the security guy at my building today, who I was at work at my other job, the law job, and got to meet him. And and it was sweltering because the air conditioner wasn't doing well. But anyway, he was very nice to me, and I appreciate it. And Jim, thanks for listening. So we have getting ready to talk to us. Hopefully he's there. Alderman Shane Cohn. Are you there, Alderman?
Jane?
Yes. There you are. We got you. Good to have you. And as I indicated, Alderman Shane Cohn is the alderman for the 25th Ward, and he is the sponsor, and I know he has co-sponsors, but he's the sponsor of the measure to raise the minimum wage, and we're really happy to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell our listeners, basically give them the major components of the bill that you have filed in order to raise the minimum wage?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, it establishes a minimum wage in the city of St. Louis, something that we currently do not have. And then it goes on from there to actually implement a minimum wage, as you mentioned, over the next 5 years, starting with a $10 an hour wage and every year raising up until 2020 when it would eventually become $15 an hour. It also has in there provisions for exemptions based off of the current state and federal minimum wage and wage and hour laws, and then also certain exemptions for small businesses as well.
Can you basically, can you tell our listeners sort of why you wanted to propose this and what you think this is going to address and how's it going to address it?
You know, there's a number of different reasons that I think that this is really important for my generation, being one of the younger members down on the Board of Aldermen, but also for working families across the region and also across our nation. This is a really defining moment, I think, for America. We have seen stagnated wage growth across the board, not just with minimum wage. Meanwhile, executive pay continues to soar. Stockholder returns are doing very well. You know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at record highs. And meanwhile, working class Americans continue to suffer. We're at a point in our nation's history where we have the highest level of indebtedness. We have student loans that are a serious concern for a lot of folks just getting out of school at this point. And we have some of the lowest rates of saving in the entire, like, last 100 years as well. So it's a big issue. You know, we need to be able to provide people who, you know, regardless of what people consider a skilled worker, an entry-level position within this workforce should at least be able to provide a roof over someone's head and food in their stomach if they are working full-time.
One of the criticisms that I've been sort of reading about is, one, does the city of St. Louis, along with and other municipalities, including Kansas City and you know, the other 500, I don't even know how many different municipal organizations we have now within the state of Missouri, does the city have authority to enact its own minimum wage that would be different from either the state or the federal?
So we believe we do, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be going down this path. You know, several folks have referenced there's a statute on the books at the moment that actually was overturned in a court ruling back in 2001, I believe. And then there's also the current legislation that passed, out of the state assembly this past session, which actually provides municipalities the opportunity to pass a minimum wage before August 28th. And so we do believe that we have the legal ability to do this, and so we're proceeding forward with it.
So I also heard, and you can confirm, that the city of Kansas City was also considering a similar proposal, and that the city attorney in Kansas City thought that there might be significant legal issues to municipalities sort of, you know, taking over the minimum wage issue from the state. Are you aware of that opinion, or have you all looked at that, and do you feel like this measure is different, or, you know, that there are other legal reasons why the city can do it?
Someone actually brought that to my attention Friday afternoon. I've not had a chance to actually read the city councilor's opinion that was circulated in Kansas City. I do know that they have attempted to go through a number of different processes to establish a minimum wage in the city of Kansas City. Whether that was initiative petition and or, resolution or ordinance by other city council. But I'm not in Kansas City, so I can't speak to all of the ins and outs of what's occurring over there at the moment.
Oh, sure. And then, okay, so one thing I wanted to ask you, too. So have you had a chance to talk to businesses? What provisions in the bill do you think sort of will I guess, lessen the effects or reduce potential negative impacts to small businesses within the city?
So, yes, I have. I've spoken with a lot of businesses over the course of considering this legislation, and then also ever since news broke about the legislation, I've, of course, had, you know, numerous emails and tweets and phone calls about it. And, you know, I've met with folks from various restaurants. I've met with folks involved with the daycare industry, the hospitality industry, the, healthcare industry. And frankly, those are the industries that have a lot of folks in low-wage positions at this point in time. Mm-hmm. When you look at the folks that are earning minimum wage, there's actually a breakdown that's quickly available on Wikipedia for anyone that's curious. But those four industries in particular are at the top of, industries that have a large percentage of the workforce that's being paid minimum wage at this point.
And have they, what concerns have they indicated? And
their concerns are, I'm listening to them and I'm understanding where they're coming from and, certainly trying to work with them as best I can. They are concerned about, the time frame in which this is going to take place in terms of the implementation. They're concerned about, a quick, growth in the minimum wage over what some people would say is too quick and some people don't think is quick enough. Mm-hmm. The impact that this would have on, margins within their business. Some folks are concerned about, inflationary tactics, although there's a ton of studies out there that, contradict those types of economics, if you will. And, so those are just a few of the concerns that folks are talking about at the moment. And we're trying to work with them to address those concerns.
And so I get from what you're saying that if there are legitimate concerns raised, that it's clearly something you're willing to talk about. And, do you foresee that the actual draft or the initial legislation may be changed based on concerns? Are you willing to sort of work with people to reduce negative impacts or unintended consequences?
No one wants businesses to leave the region, leave the city. I am fully a proponent that, raising the minimum wage, whether that's in the city of St. Louis, the state of Missouri, or across the country, it only benefits our economy. So when people, particularly the folks that drive our economy, the middle class and low-income households, when low-income households do well, the middle class does better, and our consumer-driven economy does better. So, in terms of the initial impact, yes, you have to take into consideration budget forecasting and other projections with businesses. But at the same time, revenue will also increase because people will have the ability to spend money. So, yes, we have, I met with the committee chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, which is where this bill has been assigned to. Mm-hmm. He very much wants to have a deliberative process, and I agree with him on that. And we've agreed to a series of initially four meetings. The first one will take place on June 16th. And, I fully expect to hear people from, all spectrums and, thoughts on this to, share and voice their concerns, their support, et cetera, and go from there.
So now, my understanding is House Bill 722, which is legislation that was enacted by the General Assembly this session, the governor hasn't signed or vetoed it yet, but that I understand that you all are attempting to get legislation, if possible, passed through the city prior to the effective date of that bill, which would be August 28th?
Correct.
Okay, and so that would be... is that a relatively quick time frame for legislation generally, or something of this magnitude? Do you feel like you have enough time to evaluate it between now and August?
Well, so this isn't something that hasn't been evaluated by numerous groups and organizations over the past 30 years. So this isn't something that's new in terms of the concept, and we're seeing this happen all across the country. So in terms of the legislative process itself, a bill can be introduced and passed out of the Board of Aldermen within a month. And in St. Louis County Council, probably even quicker than that. But
you're right. Yeah, I actually do think it's faster there. Yep.
Right. So with the time we're taking, a good full month, worth of deliberations and committee hearings to get public input on this. And four committee hearings alone is more than most bills, probably 95% of the bills would even get in the first place. They will usually just go to a committee, have one committee hearing, very little deliberation on them, and then they'll go before the full board for approval. So, yes, I think that, this is giving the bill a fair hearing and, giving the public the opportunity to provide their input as well.
We're talking with Alderman Shane Cohn, who is the proponent and the sponsor, the main sponsor of legislation to raise the minimum wage. And you're listening to Jane Duker on KMOX. But I also want to ask you, I understand that some groups have filed and they've just been certified for circulation statewide ballot initiatives on minimum wage. How would those, and they would be on the ballot in 2016, how would those impact what the city is proposing to do?
Well, so I'm not entirely familiar with the ins and outs of the various initiative petitions that have been out there. But, you know, I would imagine that, you know, the city's minimum wage would work with them. Mm-hmm. And it depends on which one gets, you know, passed by the voters as well. So in the meantime, we need to take action. This is something that's really important to everyday Americans on a very real basis. And so folks need relief right now, and you know, we're working as a city to try and make that happen. We are one of the economic engines of the state. St. Louis City, St. Louis County, you know, certainly St. Charles County and Kansas City, along with some of our, you know, rural counterparts. You know, we drive the engine of this economy for the state of Missouri. The state of Missouri has continually seen GDP growth over the last, you know, 10 years. There was a dip with the Great Recession, but you know, on average, our GDP growth has been between, you know, 3% and 4% every year. Wages have not grown with the GDP. They've not really grown with inflation. So we need to act on this, and the time is now. And unfortunately, our state assembly hasn't been doing so. So, you know, folks out in the community have been starting these initiative petitions to make it happen and hold folks in Jefferson City accountable.
Well, we really appreciate, I mean, I know this conversation is going to be continuing endlessly from now to who knows when. I mean, the minimum wage debate is not new by any means, and so I'm sure there will be a huge amount of discussion. I'm really glad you came on to give us, and hopefully you'll come back on and give us more updates as this goes through the process. And we really appreciate you explaining everything. Again, we have Alderman Shane Cohn, and he's the Alderman for the 25th Ward, and he's sponsoring the minimum wage increase. And thank you so much for coming, Alderman.
Thanks for having me, Jane. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, we're going to take another small break. When we get back, we're going to have the other side of this debate. We're going to have a gentleman named David Jackson, who is a consultant for the Missouri Restaurant Association, who, as you heard from the last segment, will have huge interest in whether this passes or not. And they are opposed to at least how it's being proposed. And so we're going to talk with David and get the other side of this debate when we return. You're listening to Jane Duker, the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
This is Jane Duker, and we're back at your service on KMOX. And if you listened to the last segment, we're debating sort of the minimum wage proposal by the mayor. So previously we had Shane Cohn, who is the sponsor of the legislation in the city of St. Louis to raise just the city of St. Louis's minimum wage up to $15 an hour by the year 2020. It would be stair-stepped up. It would take 4 or 5 years to get there, but it would reach $15 an hour by 2020. Now we're going to look at the other side of this debate. And with me, I have the managing partner of Gateway Group, David Jackson, and he's a consultant for the Missouri Restaurant Association. And obviously, that's one sector of the economy and businesses that are watching this proposal very closely. And he's here to talk about some of the concerns that he has heard from the Restaurant Association and other businesses. So, David, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you did you hear Shane Cohn talk about the proponent of the bill? What are your major concerns? Give me the top line concerns you all have first.
Sure. I think from to start out, you know, I grew up in Missouri, and my parents were natives of St. Louis. My dad grew up in the Shaw neighborhood, and I lived downtown after I graduated from college for several years, and I think all of us can relate to the frustration when our favorite restaurant, our favorite business goes out of business, and we see the economy in St. Louis struggling to keep employers that are moving out. And so in terms of the minimum wage debate, there are two things we have to look at. One, is it legal? And I know, as referenced on the previous call, it's our opinion that it's not. In several different areas, the state legislature has spoken and said this needs to be a uniform decision. This needs to be a state decision so we don't have 500 different minimum wages across the state. Secondly, we have to look, even if it was legal, will it work? And I think data also points to the fact that it won't. Before you raise wages, you have to have jobs and you have to have businesses. And right now, we need to be working to get more businesses and more jobs in the city before we talk about wages.
Now, one of the concerns that Alderman Cohn raised, which is, you know, the gap between the haves and the have-nots, the corporate executives who are making record profits and the people at the top, the one percenters, versus, you know, people at the, you know, middle class and even lower middle class are sort of being left behind. Their wages are not growing at the same rate as the corporate executives. You know, how do you address the fact that the disparity, the income disparity in the United States, and I would assume in St. Louis and Missouri, everywhere else, is getting worse and not getting better? And, you know, at some point you have to address that issue.
I think you have to look at who you're trying to help with this policy. If the goal is to help people who are low-skilled workers that are making minimum wage, then raising it to $15 an hour from the current $7.65 an hour doesn't work, because businesses just can't afford to hire somebody at $15 a wage that has no skill. And so you end up creating less jobs. But I think in terms of the disparity, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. To straighten out one, only 7% of the businesses in St. Louis City are chain restaurants, are chain businesses and corporate businesses. The rest, 97% of businesses are, or 93% of businesses are mom and pop independent businesses that aren't associated with a chain. And those are the people that hurt from this. In addition to the people that may be looking at St. Louis to move here, to operate their business, or to start a business, that is going to cross that opportunity off the list before we even talk to them, because they're going to go elsewhere. Why would you go into St. Louis City when you can go to Clayton, Webster Grove, St. Charles, or other places?
So what do you say to the fact that people, that the mayor, aldermen, and other proponents of this have indicated that once you sort of raise, you know, the lower end of the spectrum, that people who make that money, one, will be able to afford the products that they help make, or, you know, be able to afford the services that they're providing to people. And so, therefore, you would have more economic growth because their newer salaries, their newer wages would be put into the economic system. They would be purchasing more, and then it would raise all boats. How do you address that, you know, policy underpinning for this proposal?
I think we all agree with the fact that there's a problem in terms of economic growth and getting more money in more people's pockets to spend and circulate in the economy. But the difference in our opinion is that we think that needs to be a regional decision at a state and St. Louis regional effort, and that by St. Louis City doing it alone at $15 an hour, whenever we have a state minimum wage at $7.65 an hour, and we have 92 different municipalities in St. Louis County, not everybody there is going to have increased purchase power. And there's no way you can sustain that as a business. But we also have a lot of people right now who are already making above the minimum wage. The average fast food worker in St. Louis City makes $9 an hour. And so we have to let the market work and let that be the business owner's decision, because by St. Louis doing it on their own, they're only going to isolate themselves, because, again, we have to have jobs here and businesses here before we talk about wages.
One interesting statistic that I saw was the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicated that 50% of those making minimum wage, even though, you know, people are under 25 years old, which is a very interesting statistics, because that age group under 25 only makes up sort of one-fifth of the entire workforce, but they make up half of those who make minimum wage. So clearly we have younger workers making, you know, are the biggest percentage of minimum wage workers. And so, you know, and I'm thinking of people like my son. Frankly, the idea that he would make $15 an hour is kind of funny. I mean, he's a lifeguard, and he doesn't just do it in the summer. He works, you know, all year round, indoor pool, outdoor pool. But, you know, I think that that's too much money for him. But then again, I look at when you have a single mother of three, and she's working at, you know, a minimum wage job, either fast food or maybe a local small business, you know, the current minimum wage just doesn't cut it. you know, how do you balance those two concerns so that you get fairness where fairness is needed, but not fairness where fairness is not needed?
I think that's a good point. You have to look at, again, who you're trying to help, because the proposal here and the proponents of it, I think, are have the assumption that you're going to have more people getting more jobs and getting more money to circulate in the economy. And I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I used to deliver pizzas when I was in high school, and I worked in the restaurant industry from the time I was 15 and until I was in college and through college, and helped pay for my tuition that way. And I think those jobs may not have been available if we would have had a $15 minimum wage, because if I'm a restaurant, let's say I own a local pizza shop in downtown St. Louis, and I'm thinking about whether or not I want to provide that delivery option for a delivery driver. If I have to pay $15 an hour to my minimum wage employees, I'm probably just going to axe that option and decide I'm just going to have people come in, because it's not worth that trade-off. That money has to come from somewhere, and I'm either going to have to raise my prices, or I'm going to have to cut my workforce and provide less job opportunities, and I'm going to keep that that middle wage worker that has accumulated some skills. The purpose of the minimum wage is for your low-skilled workers that are accumulating job skills, and as you said, a lot of your high school, college kids, this is their first job in the workforce.
And it doesn't seem to me, I haven't heard a whole lot of discussion on it, that they're not looking to address the high school kids and the, you know, even college kids. I mean, kids that age are on their parents' health insurance until they're 26, so they're subsidized sort of in that way as well. And so I'm not sure that that's what this is aimed at, and so I do think that's an interesting factor. And what's interesting, too, is my understanding is Los Angeles also passed a $15 minimum wage. And one of the concerns that I've heard, and I've wondered if you've heard this from your members, that, you know, the standard of living between, you know, Los Angeles and St. Louis, or maybe New York in St. Louis, or Chicago in St. Louis, is very different. And I think I read somewhere Tim Logan, who is a former reporter here in St. Louis, who now lives in Boston, he said adjusted for standard of living, our minimum wage at 15 would be more like $21 in Los Angeles. So actually we would, from a standard of living standpoint, have a higher minimum wage than what they just passed in Los Angeles. Have your members indicated the regional problems with this?
Yeah, you know, and I haven't seen some numbers on Los Angeles specifically, but I know the Oakland area in California did increase their minimum wage, and I think that was around $12 an hour. And what they saw is a survey of, I think it was around 60-70% of restaurants that said they were moving, or they've raised their prices, or they're thinking about moving because of the hike in the minimum wage. And, you know, again, that money has to come from somewhere and how they balance out. There's only, I think, 1 in 5 restaurants that survive after 5 years, and 1 in 2 don't make a profit in their first year. And so as the alderman mentioned, in the problem we have with indebtedness and debt with our economy, a huge issue is if you're a small business owner and you're accumulating debt because you're trying to start a business off the ground, that $15 minimum wage isn't going to help, and it's going to increase debt in the economy.
Great. Well, we're here talking with David Jackson, who is the managing partner of the Gateway Group, and he's a consultant for the Missouri Restaurant Association. And we're talking about the minimum wage proposal that has been proposed by Alderman Shane Cohn and supported by Mayor Slay in the city of St. Louis. And he's giving us some of the cons. One thing I wanted to point out is that in 2006, Missouri voters 76% of Missouri voters, which rarely happens in the state, given the rural-urban split and sort of the partisan split we have in this state, approved a hike in the minimum wage and got us to where we are now, which is 40 cents an hour above the minimum wage. Now, I mean, I think that Missourians believe that the minimum wage ought to be adequate, and I think that if given a proposal, they obviously would support it, and they've obviously supported more than what the feds are doing. And so, and I've seen that 3 have been filed for 2016. So, I know that one of the concerns, and I wanted to see if you've heard this, is that, you know, why are we not waiting for the state to take care of this, or by initiative to have the people take care of it in the 2016 election?
I think that's a good point, and Jane, we are actively speaking with the different parties and stakeholders on the state level, both the state legislature and the different interest groups involved with this, because we think that it does need to be a state decision for regional growth to make sure that people have enough money in their pocket, but we also don't have a fractured wage system where, like we said in St. Louis, you could have 92 different minimum wages. If you have a restaurant that moves from St. Louis City in the Loop to Clayton or to Webster Groves, that doesn't necessarily help the region. That just creates another empty storefront in St. Louis City. And so I think we do need to have those discussions at the state level, which why lawmakers put a state law in place that says municipalities cannot raise the minimum wage above the state level. And they St. Louis City clearly does not have the authority to do this under state law.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, will you stay with us for a little bit longer, David?
I would okay. love to. Thanks, Jane.
And we'd like to take your calls. So we'd like to hear if you're a small business owner or if you're someone who you think will be affected either in a positive way or a negative way from this proposal. We'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And we will be back soon after the break. This is Jane Duker at your service, the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. And we're back, and this is Jane Duker at your service on KMOX, and we've been talking for this hour about the minimum wage, and we've got a few minutes left, and we wanted to take some callers to see what people are thinking about this. And so the first person I have is John from St. Louis, and John, are you there?
Yeah, $15 an hour, what's that come to a year?
Oh, about, what is it, over $30,000, I think?
Oh,
yeah, a little over $30,000 a year, if you work full-time.
And why is that right?
Well, that's interesting. I think what I have heard is some of the studies and people were talking about if you have a family of four and what would it take to actually, you know, live and be able to provide for your family if you were a minimum wage worker, would you have enough to provide sort of all the necessities for a family? And so I think they sort of take that number and work backwards. And so that's one of the calculations that I've heard. But, I mean, are you concerned about the amount? Is it too high?
No, I apologize. If you have a family of four, then you should have taken that into account as you had each of those two children and a wife.
Hmm. So you think it's too high?
Exactly.
Okay, and do you think it's going to be detrimental to the city, or do you think it will hurt businesses?
I don't. It will not work.
Okay.
If you look at what has happened throughout this country, you could see it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. I mean, you just can't arbitrarily throw a number out there.
And so you think the market ought to decide?
Exactly.
Well, good. Well, I really appreciate your opinion, and we want to get to some other callers, and we appreciate it, John. So now we're going to move to Steve from Florissant. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, hi. We always say charity begins at home. So the city should, for these people, nobody's discussing this, the city should offer to forego the earnings tax for these individuals and say, well, we want to pitch in because here I am, Mayor Slay. I'm living, high on the hog. So here's your slice of the bacon. We're going to go ahead and give you some back. And then these older people that are supporting it, they should offer to take a pay cut because it's always easiest in a socialist mind to give away other people's money, but they never think about giving away their own. Well, I wasn't talking about my pool of money. I was talking about giving away your money.
So do you not support a minimum wage increase at all, or do you think it's too high?
The way you do it is you get experience and you educate yourself. That's the way you move up the ladder. It's, let's think about this. The wagon trains that cross the Great Plains, to settle this country, they get out in the middle of nowhere and they decide, well, these people, even though they were told to plan for a very hard trip, a lot of hardship along the way, what we're going to do is we're going to take away all your stuff and we're going to give it to them. So that you die, but they don't, because their failure to plan is not their problem, it's your problem.
Well, we really appreciate your thoughts, and we're going to get to some other callers who have an opinion, but we appreciate it, Steve. Have a great day. Next, we're going to take our last caller, probably, because we're going to get close to running out of time here real quick. We can talk to Mark real quick. Mark, are you there?
I am here. I'll make this real quick. These guys that own 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, say Taco Bell's. We'll just pick that up. Our restaurant, at some point, they got to realize that they can't have all the bananas. They want to pay you $8 an hour, but they want to give you 20 hours or 15 hours a week. Ooh, what am I going to do with that whole $160? Mm-hmm. I can't replace my tires. That means I can't replace my battery. That means I can't turn up my heat or down my air conditioning. You know, if you're going to work me at $8 an hour, then give me 39 hours.
So you support the increase in the minimum wage?
Absolutely.
And do you support the 15 number by 2020?
Fifteen is good. I mean, it could be a little bit lower, but if you're going to keep it lower, then give me the hours.
And it's the same amount. Well, we really appreciate your opinion. We've had a lively discussion in the last hour about the minimum wage. I'm sure this debate is not going to stop anytime soon. And we appreciate Alderman Cohn coming on and discussing his proposal. And we appreciate David Jackson coming on and giving us the concerns from some of the business owners. And so this is Jane Duker at your service on KMOX News Radio 1120. And have a great afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.